to another episode of Thrive Diabetic. My name's Kate, and today I have Jessica Freeman with me. I am super excited to have her as a guest. She is a wife, mother, business owner, author, and has lived with type 1 diabetes for almost 30 years now. Jess, thanks so much for being here. How are you doing?
Good. I'm so excited to be here and chat about, you know, all the things. So thanks for having me.
So many things to talk about. I feel like you do it all. I was, of course, kind of like researching some of the things that you do and like your background. I was like, oh my gosh, you have so much stuff.
I do. I have a lot of stuff. There's a lot. Yeah.
How has diabetes been for you lately? Like, how's your blood sugar going? How's that been treating you mentally, emotionally?
How has it been lately? It has been kind of weird. Not like too extreme, but just in the last few weeks, it's been like I started going low a lot for no reason. And then like it stopped, which I was like, okay, great. I love when that happens. Love that for me. But I don't know. It could have been the weather. That people always look at me weird when I say that because I don't know a lot of diabetics that experience that, but I truly like when the seasons change and it starts to really get warm or when it starts to get really cold, like my blood sugars start to really go crazy. And I've always experienced that. And the weather the last 2 weeks has been really fluctuating a lot. So I think my blood sugars are just a reflection of that right now.
Honestly, never surprised at like anything that anyone says about like
what, right?
Because I feel like literally anything can affect it. So
literally
surprised me at all. And like, yeah, it's so hard with the changes like that because for me, like I just have such a hard time figuring out and like pinpointing what the issue could be. Because I think I don't know, things are always changing. Like there's a different season, or like you get a cold that week, or and just like things with like our periods and, you know, the different phases of that. I know that can affect your sugar too. So
yes, also affects me. Yep.
So it's always been hard for me to be like, oh, it's maybe it's this thing, which maybe I should do like some better tracking of that. Have you ever like tracked it, like seriously, like writing things down every single day? Cause I've never
Not for a very long time. Not for a very, very long time.
It doesn't seem sustainable to me. Like I'm just like,
no,
old.
I know. And I'm like, I'm not always great about even remembering to bolus before I eat, you know, like the, how you're supposed to like take your insulin before me. I sometimes I'm like mid bite or mid meal and I'm like, oops, yep. Should probably take some insulin for that.
I really struggle with that too. I feel like I got lucky with that in some ways because I always thought that that was like the standard. Like when I was diagnosed, they told me like, you know, that's how you do it, which I mean, I think they do for most, like doctors say like, oh, like you bolus before a meal, but diabetics who like at diagnosis, like they weren't really told that you were supposed to do it beforehand. So I think that's kind of interesting. Maybe they like, yeah, I mean, hopefully that wouldn't be the standard because obviously it's very helpful to take it before.
Yeah. Very helpful. I mean, hopefully that, yeah. I mean, as far as I know, it's the standard to take it before. So
I hadn't learned about like the time frame though very much. Like when I was growing up, I mean, they told me like, don't do any more than like 15 minutes. But I feel like it wasn't until way later in my life that I learned like, oh, if you want to like pre-bolus like even more or like more ahead of time for if you're having like dessert or whatever, and like all those types of strategies, which has been helpful for me. But of course, like I forget too. Like I'll be like, oh, I'm going to have some ice cream tonight. And then I'm like, well, it's like already going in my mouth. So I guess we're not.
Whoops. Yeah. It's, I think I always heard like 15 minutes. So I don't even know. I think you're the first to tell me that there's different lengths of time.
I don't know. There's lots of different strategies, I feel like. Cause I've heard of people doing like even like 30 minutes before, but they'll only take like a small amount. So it's not like the whole dose.
Interesting.
It would be kind of like cool to take a diabetes like nutrition class or like strategy.
Oh, for sure.
Something like that.
I recently learned, it was probably like within the last year, something along the lines of which again, I never knew this until I learned this on Instagram. that if you, you know, your blood sugar goes high and you take a correction, or even if you, it's not even if you're high, but like if you go high after a meal, but then if it comes back down without you taking any additional insulin, then that meant just the timing was off. And then it was like a few different scenarios where it was like the, either the timing was off or the bolus was off or something else. I don't even remember. And it was like, oh, I never realized. I mean, saying it out loud, it's kind of obvious. Like, yeah, if it comes back down, then it's probably was just the timing of it. But I was like, oh, so that's why sometimes my blood sugar comes down and sometimes it doesn't. Like, it could have been I didn't bolus enough, or I did and it just, because I don't know about you, but sometimes I still experience like, okay, I'm going up a little bit, so I'm going to take some, and then I crash even though I took one additional unit. And then other times it's like, nope, now we're climbing up to, you know, 300. Great. Yeah, like, what is happening?
Yeah, I've had the same issues for sure. And like, it's crazy too, because you said that you learned that on Instagram. And like, I think that I have learned more about diabetes management on Instagram than anywhere else. Like, I've learned so much from it, things that I never even knew. And like, I feel like I had lived with it for so long. Like, it wasn't until probably like 3 years ago, maybe even less than that, 2 years ago, that I discovered like the diabetic online community. And I was just like blown away by how much information people were putting out there. And I was like, wow, like there's just so many different things that you could do that I never knew about. Like even what you were saying, like, I didn't know that. I thought like, oh, like, I don't know. Sometimes it spikes. Sometimes
it's just another, I don't know. Like, who knows why it's doing this.
So that's like how I feel a lot of the time. Like, cause sometimes I feel like I do everything right and like, it's still wrong. So it's like, I don't know. It's just, it's confusing to me, but I've definitely learned so much from Instagram and just like better strategies, like how to bolus for different types of foods, like pizza versus like a salad or whatever it is. So it's been helpful, but
yeah.
So you've had diabetes for almost 30 years, which is pretty incredible. And obviously Instagram, the Instagram community has not been around for that long, let alone technology and all that. So like, what was it like growing up for you and kind of like seeing technology advance?
It has been really cool to see and sometimes frustrating. I still remember seeing a magazine article or newspaper, I don't know, some article about like, ooh, a cure is coming. And that was in 2008. And obviously I know by now all of us have probably seen something like, ooh, we're getting closer. But I still remember my first glucometer was basically the size of an iPhone, like lengthwise, and was as thick as probably 2 to 3 iPhones. So, and I think it was like a 60 second countdown or something. So that was in 1993. I'm pretty sure that was my first glucometer. It was one of the first. I still have it somewhere. Like, I refuse to get rid of it because it's like an artifact by now. And then, you know, glucometers changed, obviously. Like, that is somewhat exciting. And I remember when I grew up going to diabetes camps for like 15 years. So I was at one every single summer. And I remember the first time that I saw another camper with an insulin pump, and I thought they had like special diabetes or something, or like they were really special because they had this like insulin pump. And I didn't, that shows you how little information I was told about insulin pumps. Like, I grew up in a tiny, tiny town. My doctor was 4 hours away. So I didn't have, you know, like all this access to information. That was back, you know, when the internet, we still dial up. So we didn't have all this information at our fingertips. And so, yeah, I just remember insulin pumps at first almost being like a bad thing, or like I had a bad connotation in my mind that like, oh, you don't want an insulin pump, cause that means something's really bad. and obviously that's changed because now I have an insulin pump and I've had one for now 15 years or so. So it's been really cool to just see then, you know, the sensors come out and now the sensors and the pumps are talking to each other. And just all of that's really cool to see. And I love the technology. I am a very like tech savvy person. So I'm like, give me all of the technology. I always joke that I'm like half robotic because I have a sensor and a pump. And so I'm like, you know, I just have all these things attached to me. It's fine. But yeah, it's been really cool. And I'm just glad that my glucometer is not the size of my phone anymore.
Yeah, definitely. What was the first pump that you had?
It's still the same one that I have. I use the Medtronic MiniMed. I don't remember the like exact number, like version that I had, but it was a Medtronic and I'm still on Medtronic all these years later. I for a short little bit tried a t-slim for maybe a year and insurance was being a pain in the butt as they always are. And so I switched back to Medtronic and I've just never gone back. Now I would really like to go back to t-slim. So that my Dexcom and my T-Slim can work together. That would be great. But of course, insurance is being a butt and doesn't want to do it. So here I am.
Yeah, that is so like frustrating with insurance and like just not really like you have a choice in what you get kind of, but also not really if they're not going to or just be a pain in the butt about it. That's super annoying.
Yeah. And the worst part is that it's not even that they don't, it's not like they're saying, oh, we don't cover T-Slim. They're like, well, your pump is in warranty, so we're not going to cover it. Yeah. And I even offered to, because T-Slim has a program where they will like give you a discount or they like quote unquote loan it to you for like $1,000 or something. And I was like, sure. And insurance was like, we won't cover the supplies. Great. Love
it. That's frustrating because it's like, if you're not getting the Medtronic supplies anymore, then what difference does it make?
Like, yeah.
It's the same thing. Insurance is always a fun thing to talk about, but yeah. I feel like every diabetic I've ever known, like so frustrated by insurance.
Yes. Incredibly.
Just like the amount of medication that we have to get and supplies and all that and like all the rules and stuff. I was recently trying to figure out my insurance because it was like, it was over 6 months ago that I got hired at the job that I have right now. So of course I had to figure out like all the stuff, like they cover, how to get it. And like, even I tried to set it up with a pharmacy that I thought was in their network, but then they were like, no, like we only do mail order. And I was just like, this is so annoying. Like, why is it so hard to figure out this information?
The worst.
Seriously. So speaking of insurance and stuff like that, so you own your own business, you're a web designer. And I'm kind of wondering, like, do you have your own insurance? Are you on a spouse's insurance? Like, or how long have you had the business and what has that been like for you having diabetes as well?
Yeah. So I started my business in college in 2011, and then I went full time in 2014. And I have been lucky enough to be on my spouse's insurance this entire time. I was on my parents' insurance until I was 25 or 26, whatever that cutoff is, and then switched to my spouse's insurance. So, and luckily he has really great health insurance. So I, knock on wood, have not had to deal with like going to the marketplace and getting my own insurance. Which I'm very thankful for because we do really have good coverage, especially for my supplies. And I see the posts and the comments online with diabetics talking about rationing supplies, borrowing supplies, having to pay ridiculous amounts for strips or insulin or pump supplies or whatever it is. So luckily I haven't had that headache. It has been interesting being a business owner and, living with diabetes and managing it. One of the big things has been I work at home by myself. And luckily, again, knock on wood, I have never passed out from a high or low blood sugar. But that fear has crossed my mind that like I'm going to collapse at home at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. My husband's not going to get home for 4 hours, 5 hours and find me on the floor or something. Which is one of the reasons that I finally got a sensor several years ago was, you know, I want to be more aware of what my blood sugars are doing so that I'm not just all of a sudden like, oh man, I have a super low blood sugar. I kind of feel low. I should check. So that's been really good. But I also have to, you know, every kind of like how I know most people probably check their blood sugar or like look at their sensor to see what their blood sugar is doing before they go to the gym, go for a walk, or, you know, whatever it is that they're about to do. I have to do that even before I get on client calls. because there's been times that I have gone low during a client call and not had something super close by. And so it's only happened a few times, but it's been like, it's almost the end of the call. And so I'm like, I'm fine. I'm like, talking myself out of a low blood sugar. It's newsflash. It doesn't work. And so then I'm like, you know, starting to sweat and I'm feeling the low blood sugar. So most of the times now I'm pretty good about having something on my desk at all times for a low blood sugar. But I also, before any call, will look at my blood sugars to make sure, like, am I even trending down? Am I like, what's the situation? And while it's not a big deal to me, obviously, like it takes 2 seconds to see what my blood sugar is doing, it's something that I don't think a lot of non-diabetics would think about, that the mental energy it takes to have to remember to look just before a simple phone call. Mm-hmm. So that's been one thing. And then, I mean, I work for myself and dictate my own schedule and all of that, but I do travel some to go to conferences or retreats or go see friends that I've met through business and that kind of thing. And so then there's been that, you know, like, how do I manage my diabetes with this conference schedule? And I'm in this huge, you know, arena or conference center or hotel or whatever, and figuring that out. And most of the time I'm with, you know, a group of people. And, you know, they might have different meal times or, okay, like the sessions are going to go till 7 p.m. and then we're going to break for dinner. And I'm like, oh dear. So just knowing, like, again, okay, I have to make sure I take snacks and low blood sugar supplies with me into the sessions at all times. And so I might be that lady that, you know, is carrying a huge bag with or breaks out a Fanta in the middle of the session. So it's a lot of just extra mental energy, I think, is a big thing for me.
Yeah, I feel that a lot too, just like, you know, like you said, in everyday life and also at work too, which can be more stressful because, like you said, if you have to get on a call with a client and, like, if, you know, you're doing a lot of the talking on the call or leading the call or whatever it is. And to also, on top of that, have to think about, like, is my blood sugar going to drop really low during this? Mm-hmm. Like, am I going to have to pull out a juice box while I'm trying to talk to them? And I don't know about you, but I get the worst brain fog ever. Like, I cannot form, like, coherent thoughts while when my blood sugar is dropping and when it's low. So, mm-hmm. like, that is actually my worst fear, is, like, having to do something, have like a presentation or, I don't know, a long work meeting or whatever it is, and have to, like, think about that too. Cause I mean, I know this doesn't matter, and, like, I can always say, like, I'm type 1 diabetic, but it is also, like, hard for me to, like, pull out a juice box or some fruit snacks or whatever during a meeting. Cause I'm like, these people are going to think that I'm like a child that, like, needs a snack, but they don't realize that my blood sugar is dropping low.
Yes, I 100% get it. It's still like, even after all these years, even if almost every single person, I feel like, either knows someone with diabetes or knows someone who knows someone, or, you know, they've heard about it, it's not this, like, foreign thing anymore. I feel like there's still just this tiny bit of, like, shame of, like, breaking out a juice box or, like, I need Jolly Ranchers, because it does look like, what are you doing? Like, are you five? Like, what? Cause it's not like, oh, I'm taking a pill or
yeah.
And like, it looks like medicine. It looks like I have a sugar craving and want a juice box. So
it's hard for me too, because I feel like, I mean, I know that I don't have to explain myself and whatever, but it's also hard, just like, if I do say, like, oh, like, I'm type 1 diabetic or I'm diabetic, and you're like eating fruit snacks, like, and because on top of that, I feel like then once I say that, then I have to explain, like, oh, my voice is going low, like, and then like, you know, it's just, it's hard with that sometimes. And I know it doesn't matter, but it just, it feels like it matters to me.
Yes.
And I don't want to, like, if, you know, because there's a stigma around diabetes and people like don't understand it that well, just in general. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I don't know. I feel like people get confused, like while you're eating sugar, because they think that diabetics can't have sugar on top of that. So it's like, yes. It's a whole like process for me where I'm like, I would rather just like run to the bathroom and chug this juice box rather than like sit here and have to like explain diabetes and like, it, yeah. So
yes. It's a whole thing. Yes. Like. And it, like, to go along with that, I think it's also for me sometimes, again, even after all these years of living with this and like being in these experiences and these meetings and whatever, it's also like, I don't want to have to explain it because I just want to be normal. Like, I don't want to interrupt this meeting, this presentation, this call to be like, sorry, I have a low blood sugar, and then have to go on this like tangent explaining it in front of everybody, even though they mean well, they're curious, they want to help. It's just like, no, I just wish I didn't have to do this. Like, I wish I could just press a button and like sugar gets injected to my bloodstream. That's the next device we need.
I know someone, so I have been running lately and I've been having a really difficult time like not crashing low and that kind of thing. And I posted a video on Instagram of, cause I did like updates like every mile. And I was like crashing really low and I was like trying to eat, fruit snacks while I was running to balance it out and whatever. And someone commented and they were like, the next thing they should do is like put a little compartment in the pump that has like sugar to give you like a dose of sugar. And I was like, honestly, like that might be a good idea. I don't know.
Uh-huh. Or like, instead of, if they can't build it in, how about instead of an insulin pen, it's like a sugar pen, you know, mm-hmm. like, so if you don't want to be attached to another device, like, I know that's basically what we're describing is the glucagon. I get that. Yeah. But like, can we have like a lower dose, like where you can dial it up like an insulin pen?
Yeah. Right.
That's what I want.
Just like a little dose, but mm-hmm. I guess like, I don't know. Cause could you inject sugar, you think, like you wouldn't, it wouldn't have to be injected into a vein, right?
I guess I don't know. That's a good question. I am the wrong person to ask. I'm not
really sure how that would work, but I'm hoping that someone maybe could figure
it out. Someone's probably listening and being like, guys, that's not how it works.
I know, yeah. They're like, no, not at all. Like my other thought is like, okay, maybe not in the pump, because I was just thinking like the tubing, there would have to be another tube with the sugar.
Oh,
that would make sense.
Yeah.
But what about if it was on the CGM, like on the Dexcom, and there was just like one, like, you know, the spot for where it goes to check the blood sugar and then another spot.
I'd be down. I'm fine with another hole. I'm fine.
I don't know.
Sounds good to me.
We'll see what people come out with in the next.
Okay. Somebody take that idea and run with it.
I don't know.
You can become a millionaire as long as I benefit from it. That's
for real.
Fine.
Yeah. I don't even need the credit. Just like make my life easier. That's all I care about.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So tell me about like, how has your mental health been affected over the years with diabetes, and kind of like how have your highs and lows been? I know we talked before, you said that you struggled with depression before. What was that like, type 1 diabetic?
So my mental health, like over the last 30 years, especially as it relates to diabetes, has definitely been an up and down. I think for the first several years, it was kind of, I was young enough that I didn't like fully understand what this meant, you know, like long-term what it meant. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like, okay, like this is what I have to do now. And then got moved into that angry stage for a while and definitely went through some depression in high school. And then in college, struggled really hard with burnout and I was just over all of it. I was tired of scheduling, of paying attention, for paying for things, or just all of the things. I was just tired of every part of it. And I think my biggest struggle with mental health really stemmed from correlating like being a good person with having good blood sugars. And then the opposite of like, well, I have bad blood sugars, I'm a bad person. Which sounds ridiculous to say out loud, probably to some people, but, and it wasn't anything that my parents ever said. Like, my parents were great. They never said anything like that. They were very supportive, but I think it was actually that they didn't say those affirmations, I guess, of, hey, like, I know your blood sugars have been crazy this week, but it's okay. We're going to get through it. We still love you, et cetera. It was just like, oh, like, why are your blood sugars crazy? Oh, maybe we should adjust this, that, whatever. But there was never this like, hey, you are still good. We still love you, blah, blah, blah. And so, and I grew up being like the straight A student, involved in all the things, you know, I was that like type A personality. And so I think that's also where it came from, being, well, I excel in all these other things. I always get straight A's. I'm top of my class, teacher's pet, teacher's kid, that kind of stuff. And so to have, because growing up, I did not have good control of my diabetes whatsoever. I never really saw a higher A1C than like something in the high nines, as far as I remember. But I would actually lie about my blood sugars quite often, because back then they didn't have the technology to plug in your glucometer. And so we had to fill out the paper logbook and I would have to like go in and write down all my blood sugars. And I would sit down, you know, the day or two before my next appointment to fill that logbook out, because of course I never did it on a weekly basis. I did it 3 months at a time. And I would be like, well, this is a lot of 200 blood sugars. This looks really bad. I should like fib some of these just so I didn't get in trouble, which was then also kind of confusing for them to see that my A1C did not match the blood sugars. And so, yeah, it was a lot of the depression, the burnout. And then finally, I mean, I don't really remember how I worked through the burnout in college. I know I read the diabetes burnout book, and that was really helpful. If y'all haven't heard of that or read it, it is really, really good. Basically, one of the takeaways that I still remember, you know, like 10 years later, is to really try and focus on only one thing at a time, which not obviously, you know, that you can't just not take insulin or not count carbs, but how can I just, you know, this week I'm just going to focus, or this month going to focus on taking my insulin before I start eating. And then I will still try and check my blood sugar. I will still try and count carbs, obviously. And like, but I'm not going to be so detail oriented and like anal about trying to get all of these things perfect. And I'm really just going to focus on like this one thing. And so that really helped me get through that. And then struggled again a few years after college, again, just feeling burnout. It wasn't as severe, but it was also like a frustration of just like, I don't know what is going on. And I'm tired of doctors. Doctor after doctor, looking at my blood sugars, my actual blood sugars, not ones that I lied about, and saying, I don't really see any patterns. So I don't really know how to help you or what to change. And me just being like, great, what do I do? And so it was right around when I got my Dexcom, and I went keto for a little bit, which was not great. I know there's a lot of controversy around that. It did help my blood sugars. And that seeing the straight line, like really straight lines on the Dexcom while I was low carb, helped kind of get me out of that funk and be like, oh my gosh, I'm not a failure. I can have good blood sugars. Yeah, it's been a lot of ups and downs, but I think the one thing that I always remember is just to like focus on one thing at a time and be really, really good about that thing and okay at the other things instead of trying to be like 100% at all of the things.
Yeah, I relate to like everything you said pretty much. That, like so many people feel that. And like what you said about how like if how you correlated like good blood sugar with being a good person and bad blood sugar with being a bad person. Like I feel that 100%. I think so many people feel that. And it's not even like, it's like a hard thing to explain because I feel like it's not us in our mind, like looking at our blood sugar and being like, oh, like I'm a horrible person. It's like, there's all this like underlying pressure and shame and guilt around not having a perfect graph. And I think that it's like the pressure is put on in like a subtle way, but it has a really big impact on diabetics. Like,
oh yeah.
Well, growing up and going to the doctor, you mentioned this too, like having anxiety around going to the doctor. I used to lie about my blood sugars too, kind of in a different way, but because they would download my glucometer so they could see. What I would do is I would come home from school and then like my parents would be like, okay, check your blood sugar before dinner. Like what is it at? And I would just like throw out a random number. Like I would not check it and just like be like, so it's at 130. Yep, exactly. So it's just hard because like I said, like the subtleties with diabetes have like a big impact. When you go to the doctor, they're looking at a graph and they're like pinpointing all the things that you did wrong. And I know it's coming from a place of like wanting to help you and wanting to like get your blood sugar to a good place, but we miss all of the, like you said, affirmations. Like, I think people need to be told like, hey, just because you're having bad blood sugars doesn't mean that you're a bad person. Like this isn't related to you. And I don't want you to feel shame or guilt around this. Like, I know that you're doing your best. And I know that this is really hard. I know that there's a million other factors that you have to think about. And also you're like 15. So,
so like you have a lot going on.
Yeah. And I mean, that's at any age too, but all, like, especially right. Like being a child, being a teenager, you're just trying to like figure yourself out, come into your own and like make friends, figure out what you like, all these things. And then on top of that, I have to be faced with like this huge responsibility of trying to manage diabetes perfectly. So it's really crazy to like not get that side of it. And like to only be getting like, oh, what's your blood sugar at? Well, why is it so high? As if like, as if I did this on purpose.
Right.
Like, right. So it's kind of crazy. And I think that like things are getting better with that. And people are learning more about like how they're affected mentally with diabetes, but I can only imagine what it was like when you were growing up. Cause I feel like when I was growing up, when I was like 10 years old with diabetes, no one was talking about mental health. I had never heard anything about it. I never knew anything. Like I never knew how it would affect me mentally and emotionally until I got to college.
Yeah. It's tough. And I think going back to the unspoken pressure, I think it comes from those moments with the doctors or maybe parents or both where they ask, they're like, why were you high on Tuesday the 4th at 10 a.m.?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like I had one time, I think it was last year, I've changed doctors a few times in the last like 2 years. A doctor was like, why is your basal rate higher in the morning? Because my body needs more insulin in the morning. Like, what kind of question is that? And so it almost, like, I know they were probably just asking from like a clarifying standpoint, because I think it was like one of my first appointments with them, but it also it was like a slight tone of shame of like, why? And so I think it's sometimes just the doctors and how they approach those questions. One of my favorite doctors that I had for several years, she was so great. And I remember coming to one of my appointments and I was nervous because I'd had a really good A1C for a long time and then was starting to fluctuate more and was like, oh no, like I was getting a lot of anxiety of, okay, I'm getting out of this like perfect zone. And that perfectionism was like really kicking me in the butt. And I was just like having a lot of anxiety going to the doctor that day, being like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be in so much trouble. Like my blood sugars are getting, now they're getting back out of control a little bit. And fast forward, my A1C was fine. Like it had gone up like 0.1. And I told my doctor that I'd been nervous because I had a really great relationship with her. And it was like one of the few doctors that I could be truly honest with. And I was like, well, I was just really nervous that things weren't going well and, you know, all this. And she looked at me and was like, you have so much going on. Like at the time I was a foster parent. And so I had all that stress and going on. And she was like, you need to go have a margarita. That's what she said. She was like, you need to chill out. Like you have a lot going on. You're working, you're a foster parent. Your blood sugars are actually really good. Your A1C is perfect. Like go chill out, have a margarita tonight. Like you're fine. Leave my office. So, yeah, I think it's just like the way that we talk to ourselves and the way that our parents and doctors talk to us that really has an impact on our mental health.
Yeah. I think it's so nice to have someone who like really understands it better like that when they're like, oh, mm-hmm. like, you know, you're dealing with this 24/7. Obviously it's not going to be perfect. We all have things going on and
right.
know, it's hard because I think that the way that they question things, like you said, like, oh, what happened here at 10 a.m. on, you know, 3 weeks ago or whatever. it like a lot of those questions really come off or like have an underlying tone that implies that like it is all us, that like
mm-hmm.
that it's actually is my fault if my blood sugar is high. Mm-hmm. And they're not saying that, but that is a lot of those questions feel that way. And I mm-hmm. like growing up, I think I just felt that in a lot of ways but didn't know that I was feeling that. And so like I really really truly thought like if my blood sugar isn't good, if my A1C isn't below 7, then like, this is my fault because it, everything has to do with me. But it's like, then you learn, like, obviously there's so many factors and so many things that we're dealing with. Like we couldn't possibly do the job of our pancreas perfectly.
Right. Like, sorry, I'm not a human organ. So like yeah. things aren't going to be perfect.
Exactly. So would you say that your like mental health and kind of the things that you've dealt with throughout your life inspired your book, The Type 1 Life? Or tell me a little bit about that and like what did inspire it for you?
Yeah, so I think there were a few things that inspired the book. One of my best friends is a book coach and she thinks everyone has a book inside of them. And so just being around her, I think kind of inspired me to be like, I can write a book. Didn't really actually think when I first met her that that would be the book I would write. And then, yes, like out of, you know, I've gone through a lot of things over the years. And I growing up in a small town, like I had 20 kids in my graduating class. So like when I say small town, I mean tiny. I was the only diabetic, I think, in the entire town. I know for sure in the entire school. So I was very much an outsider and I was the only, like my grandparents were diabetic. One side of my grandparents were diabetic. But for the longest time, I want to say it was like high school. It was me and my grandparents that were diabetic out of my entire family on both sides. And so it was just like, I'm just out here by myself. And so anytime there was somebody that got diagnosed, which started around junior high or high school, that somebody got diagnosed, they would call my mom and be like, so-and-so has diabetes. Like, what do you suggest? What tips do you have? You know, that kind of stuff. And she would, you know, basically word vomit all this information to them. And she passed away in 2014 and it was in 2017 that a friend of mine had his daughter who was 4 got diagnosed. And at that time I, you know, my friend who's a book coach has already been nudging me like, what's your book that you're going to write? And when she was diagnosed, the little girl, the 4-year-old, I remember being like my mom and word vomiting to my friend over Facebook Messenger and being like, okay, you need to do this. You need to ask about this. You need to think about this. They should tell you this, and just on and on. And I was like, I am overwhelming him with information. And I think it was that week or the very next week I started writing my book and was like, I am going to put all this information that I know into a book for parents who have a child that gets diagnosed so that they don't have to get word vomited on. And hopefully it can help more people. And so, yeah, so that's kind of, it was a few things that inspired it. But now it's out there.
Yeah, that's amazing because I think that I've done the same thing before. Like I've heard of someone getting diagnosed and like they'll kind of come to me for advice or something along those lines. And I'll be like typing a message and I'm like, this is actually a book right now. Like,
yeah, like, let me just open up a Google Doc.
I know. And it's always like that too, because it's like, there's so much to know. And like, I always want to give everything to them. Cause like, I never had that when I was growing up, like no one ever gave us like all the resources and all the things that we needed. Like we just learned trial and error type of situation. And yeah, that's something that I wish I had, was like, you know, kind of like a guidebook that like laid it out and just like easy to, you know, see, like find all those things that you need. Yeah. Just cause it is, you know, it's so much information. So
I'm really glad
that is out there for people. People definitely need that.
Yes. And mine is, to be clear, I don't give medical advice in my book. So my little elevator pitch for my book is that it's all the things that doctors don't tell you. Mm-hmm. So, because obviously in that first, you know, week of being in the hospital and being diagnosed, like they can't possibly tell you everything. And they're really focused on figuring out your insulin dosages and carb ratios and whatever, and teaching the parents how to give shots and, you know, all this stuff. So my book covers a lot of like adjusting to the new normal. It covers school, sports, slumber parties, family gatherings, dealing with insurance, dealing with the medical supply companies, and then even going into like adulthood. And kind of a little, that part is, I cover a lot of things just briefly. So like pregnancy, drinking, driving, getting married, you know, just things that they'll think about in the future, that kind of like how to talk about it with their kids. So yeah, it's just like all the things. And then I'm actually right now working on the second edition of my book, and I'm finishing up, I'm adding a whole chapter on mental health and diabetes. And I talk about burnout, anxiety, and depression. And because we are like 2 to 3 times more likely to struggle with anxiety or depression as diabetics. And there's some, it's most places say 2 to 3, there's like one study that says 5 times. So 2 to 5, I guess, is the range, more likely to struggle with those things. And so I just kind of cover that and talk about really what I mentioned earlier about, it's a lot of how you talk to your kids and how you kind of, your attitude towards their blood sugars and their management and their care and those kinds of things that can have an impact. Like, not that it always on the parent's shoulders, obviously there's a lot of factors, but that is one of the big factors. And so I really was like, I know that this chapter needs to be added to the book because mental health is just a big struggle for everyone, I feel like, right now, or the last several years. And I know it's something that a lot of diabetics struggle with because I see it in the online communities. And so I wanted to help parents be able to help their kids with it.
That's so exciting. I feel like that is definitely needed. And like those two books together, it's like almost everything you need to know about diabetes.
Yes.
There.
Do yeah.
you have a date that will be coming out, or is it pending?
So it'll be out in May 2023. I don't have the specific date, but I know so May 2023. Month. Yeah. So just a few weeks, depending on when you're listening to this episode, either a few weeks away or a few weeks ago or whatever. Yeah, I mean, but
that should correlate pretty well because this will nice. Come out probably like middle April, maybe end of April. So nice. Your book will just be coming out. So do you yes. have a name picked out? Can you share the name?
So it's the second edition, it'll be the same name and it'll just be The Type 1 Life. And then it'll say second edition. Okay. So you can find it on Amazon. You get Prime shipping. So if you like are anxious to read it. You can get it in 2 days. And then I have a website for the book as well, thetype1life.com. And it has the links to the book. And then I also have like some resources there for parents as well, like a lot of links to basically a lot of stuff that I talk about in the book, like apps, websites, you know, thing, resources that I mentioned. So you can find all that there.
Perfect. Well, last question for you is, where can people find you online and connect with you?
Yeah. So probably the easiest place is, my, like I said, thetype1life.com, or I don't have a diabetes Instagram. I don't have an Instagram for my book, but if you're curious, you can follow my business Instagram, which is at Jess Creatives.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for just sharing your story and kind of everything, that all the highs and all the lows and everything that you've been through. I know that those books are really great resources. So I'll link those in the show notes, and thank you so much for coming on.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me.